Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. All right, I just want to jump into today's special guest, who is Jason Schemmel. Jason is a social media manager in the publishing industry for HarperCollins Christian Publishing in their Bibles department. Now, at the same time, he's also out on the speaking circuit, and he's sharing his approach to social media strategies, creating content, and how to manage your social media presence. He's also somebody who knows how to get shit done. And I say this because not that this is affiliated with his work at HarperCollins, but he does have a podcast called GSD Chat, and we're going to talk about that as well. So I have so many things that I could say about Jason, but I think it's better that he shares his interesting career journey with you. Jason, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Deirdre, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Well, you know, I find it really interesting that you spent some time in retail. I've done my homework, right? Mm-hmm. You were in retail and sales, and then you pivoted over to publishing, which is a different transition, and social media, which we all want to know about and is so important. So tell us a little bit about what you love about this transition and what you're doing now and how it helps.
Sure. Yeah. So as you said, I spent 7 years in retail, which I wouldn't wish upon anyone, maybe just a couple of years, but definitely not seven.
Yeah. That's a long time.
After three Black Fridays at Best Buy, before online shopping was a thing, that, you know, you've seen some things. But
right. It's kind of like dog years, right?
It really is.
Every year is 7 years in and of itself or something.
Yeah, I've practically spent a lifetime in retail, and it did feel that way. But anyways, I digress.
Right.
Well, my time working in retail was, even though it was long, it was very beneficial because it helped me realize that I'm very much a people person, where I'm always there to help others. And that's something I definitely noticed in my time at retail, was that I wasn't so much bent on making sales or selling the highest margin items and the highest ticket items. It's more of just, how can I help this person have a pleasant experience with us in hopes that they come back? Little did I know that was pretty much the foundation of content marketing in and of itself. Like, how can you produce great content that provides value to people and keeps them wanting more? But yeah, after 7 years, I finally realized that retail is not the career path I wanted to choose. Found out that social media was a thing. And so I started Facebook posting and got involved in LinkedIn and Twitter and found out that people are using that to share information to help other people. So I started doing that. And the transition to publishing was definitely unexpected. I'll be honest in saying I never really saw myself in publishing or even the religious industry. And yet I've now been working there 5.5 years. So shows what I know.
Yeah, right. Well, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say it's what you said about not even knowing where you would end up. And now you're in publishing. That's fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Never would have thought about it. Mm-mm. But the whole transition to that was really funny because it was during the Summer Olympics. I forget which one exactly, but I was tweeting out about NBC's horrible coverage of the Olympics. And a person I had been in touch with who's in marketing saw it and said, like, hey, you know, you kind of have a knack for this. Would you be interested in doing a position of social media? It's a temp position, but it's still social media. And I'm like, well, I'm currently working at a grant funded project that, you know, my job has a hard end date. So yeah, I'll take anything that's can extend me past the next couple of weeks. And it turned out to be for Zondervan, and it was when HarperCollins was in the process of acquiring them. And yeah, really just through pure random happenstance, I'm here. And again, I've been here for 5.5 years now. Who would have thought?
Well, who would have thought? So social media actually brought you a job that has you doing social media exactly. for 5 years.
Yeah.
Every day. So is there anything about what are you finding the most on social media, especially it kind of brings me back to what you said when you were in retail, understanding people, the experience. I think social media, like you said, content, same thing. What is it about? And it's a word that you've mentioned before. Empathy.
Yes.
How does empathy play into what you're doing?
To be honest with you, empathy is the foundation of everything that I do. And especially in terms of social media, because if you're a brand or a personality or just even just being yourself, if you're not producing content and publishing things that don't resonate with people, no one's going to care. It's just going to be another thing in their feed. They're going to think, okay, someone's talking about this, but I don't care. So they're not going to stop. But as a business or a company or an influencer, however you want to look at it, if you're publishing stuff that sparks people's interest and sparks people's intrigue because you're able to see things from their point of view, they're instantly going to become intrigued. They're like, hey, this applies to me. And not only that, if you really strike a chord with them, a personal emotional chord with them, they're even more likely to share it, which then amplifies your content, which everyone wants. And especially in today's age where it seems organic reach has become more and more of a scarcity, being able to utilize empathy in your content to better reach people and to better connect with people so that they share it organically, that's just going to help everyone. And it's, you know, on the business side of things, it's a lot cheaper too.
Absolutely. But I think this also raises expectations. You know, you're a social media manager, so certainly if people come to expect the great content that resonates, you're hitting hot buttons or things that people are really passionate about, doesn't that raise the expectations? And then, you know, what happens if you don't deliver? I guess it gets into the benefits and yet the concerns.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's always the pressure of producing high content, and everyone that publishes content wants to be able to publish on a high level. You know, everyone has expectations of this article or this piece or this picture is going to do great. I think it's great. I think my audience will think it's great, and you put it out there, and not every time you're not going to hit it out of the park every time. It's just, that's, it's not feasible.
Yeah, there's no way.
I mean, which is why some people just post so frequently. It's kind of like throwing spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. Like, hey, if I publish enough out there, eventually I'm going to hit something that is going to really take off. That's not really the way I like doing things. I'd much rather do my homework and spend some time really getting to know this type of piece that I'm putting out there, so that I can be sure that when I put it out there, it's really going to resonate with people. Now, again, that doesn't mean I hit it every time, but again, that's where empathy comes in, where it's like, okay, I know how myself as a person would approach this and how I would react to this, but let me take myself out of my shoes and put myself in my end user. So I'm this, I'm this male in my mid-40s. I have this type of living situation. I work in this kind of job. I have these type of views on things. How am I going to look at this piece of content? How am I going to react to it? How is it going to make me feel? And what's going to make me want to share this with other people? Like, that's the type of view, the type of viewpoint I try and take when I put together content pieces.
That's really good. Do you often step back, and whether it's on the job or even when you're just out there helping people, or you're speaking, or you're training, or whatever you're doing, do you see any recurrences of mistakes that either individuals make, professionals who are out there, or companies make?
I mean, it really depends on how you look at it. Because, I mean, you could say, especially during the political seasons, people start really posting stuff like, oh, I think this, and you should think this, and blah, blah, blah. Like, they're trying to rally voters onto their cause and stuff. I'm like, well, you're projecting an opinion. Okay. If I don't align with your opinions, then I don't care. So,
right.
and you see businesses doing that too. Like, oh, hey, we're pro this or pro that. And then you see this huge uproar of people going, yeah, I support them because they align with my views and my opinions, or people are against them and they have, you know, boycott, whatever the company name is, because their views and opinions don't align with them. So that's one thing I see pretty regularly. Which is unfortunate, because I think a lot of people are trying to play into the any press, There's no such thing as bad press as long as you get your name out there, which again, that's just not a method I like to work within.
I never subscribed to that myself.
No.
Where all press is, and you know, even if it's negative is good press. Definitely not. Do you feel that businesses are investing enough in social media, or do you think that there are still some companies out there that just don't see the value, if there are any?
Well, there are definitely businesses out there who still haven't fully grasped on the concept and the impact that social media can have. But having said that, there's plenty of other companies out there that have fully embraced that, and they use Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff to their advantage. One of the ones that will always stick out in my mind is the Oreo cookie from the Super Bowl, I think, maybe 3 or 4 years ago when the lights went out, and within about 15 to 20 minutes, they had a picture out on Twitter that said, even in the dark, you can still dunk a cookie. I'm like, that was brilliant. That was awesome.
But that's marketing in real time.
Exactly.
The situation happens. And you're grabbing your team and you're doing something with it because everybody's talking about it.
Yeah. And it was just a simple picture. I'm sure it took a designer no more than half an hour to put together. It was less than that because they put it together rather quickly. But they put it up there really quick and it took off like wildfire because it was quick, it was relevant, and it was witty, and it was really cool. But going back to your question, I do think there are some businesses out there that haven't fully grasped the concept of social media because they think it's just more for personal use. Like, okay, I share pictures about my family and talk about, you know, the sporting event that I went to and stuff like that. Why would I share my business on there? But I think what a lot of those type of people are missing is that, 10, 20 years ago, we lived in the digital age where if you didn't have a website, you didn't exist. I mean, you practically didn't exist. And we're now in that day and age where if you don't have a social media presence of some kind, you practically don't exist because that's how everyone gets their news. That's how everyone gets their connections and even read reviews now. So it's become a huge thing. And I think a lot more businesses need to spend more time on it. But that's the whole thing is that a lot of businesses think, well, I don't have the time or the resources to put into it. But you know, a lot of people don't realize it doesn't take that much to really get a firm grasp on it.
Exactly. And even, I have heard businesses say, well, our audience isn't on social media, but you could even argue to them, but what about talent? Mm-hmm. Your talent of tomorrow, where are you going to find them? Well, you're going to find them
absolutely
in social communities. You might find them on LinkedIn, right? So there's always an argument. And would you, when it comes to a business, and there are plenty of companies that are actually using social media, but maybe not as strategically as they could. Do you think that it takes more than just a social media manager and a marketing department saying, this is what we're doing? What about the culture? Does something have to change within the business to get everybody to embrace?
I don't think it has to be a huge shift in culture, but a definite change in culture of, you know, you need buy-in from everyone going, you know, okay, we have our marketing team, we have our social media manager who's managing this stuff, who's managing the brand voice on social and everything. But the great thing about social in terms of businesses and a company individually is that you can pull in assets and resources from all different people who have absolutely nothing to do with social media. So if your research department just came out with this brand new study, that's something the social media manager can use to push out and like, hey, guess what we just found out? Or, you know, if your sales department is having this huge sale that they're planning, or they want to do some big promotion or something like that, they can work in conjunction with the marketing team to really push that out. So, I don't think it needs to be a huge cultural shift. Just you need everyone to buy in on some level that social media is a very useful tool. And that's where working in collaboration with marketing and your social media team is really going to become beneficial. But that promotes company collaboration anyways, which I believe most companies should be doing regardless.
Absolutely. So do you find yourself a social media manager? Are you reaching out to different areas and getting what they're doing and sharing it through social media? Or do people actually come to you because they've bought in or they want to be a part of the collaboration?
It's a little bit of both. So here at HarperCollins Christian Publishing, the marketers and I from different departments and stuff. So I'm in the Bibles department, but we also have fiction and nonfiction and church source, which are very church related. We have a nice growing community there. We all get together once a month and we talk about the things that we're doing, the things that we're working on, and see if there's any crossover to where we can also share that information out on the other platforms and accounts that we have within the company. So promoting that collaboration. But at the same time, I also have people coming to us saying like, hey, I see that you're doing this and we would love to be a part of that. How can you, could you help us create something around that? And I guess an example of that would be last year, we really bought into creating quizzes. So, you know how we would see BuzzFeed quizzes all the time, like, oh, hey, take this 10 question quiz and find out what Game of Thrones character you are or something like that. We started doing that in terms of Bibles, and not quite that cheesy. We got a bit more in depth and a bit more serious about that. But, but we pushed out, we created about 5 or 6 quizzes, pushed them out to the various brands that I manage and saw some fantastic feedback from it. Our audience members loved it. They were suggesting other topics that they would love to see from, because we tried to make our quizzes a little bit difficult so that people wouldn't get perfect scores, so people would learn some extra stuff about it. And then we have our call to action at the end of it. And then we took that data, submitted it to all of the people across the other departments and the marketing teams, and they go, "This is awesome. We want to try this." That's and so great. We tried that out, and yeah, it was really cool.
That is really cool. All right, so I do want to pivot, because sure. I mentioned before about your podcast, and because you know, social media, new media, trying new platforms. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your podcast and why you actually launched GSD Chat.
Sure. Yeah. So the Get Shit Done Chat was purely born out of selfish intentions. I'm just being totally honest. No,
never know what somebody's going to say. I love the transparency. I love it.
Oh, no, I am open and honest. I believe in just being as honest and just as upfront as possible. I purely did it for selfish purposes, but I also realized that this is something that a lot of other people could benefit from as well. And that's what really pushed me to create this podcast, because it's something I'd been mulling over for about a year, going, I wonder if I can do it. I wonder if I can't. What are the costs? Is it worth the cost? Blah, blah, blah. And then I just finally said, I just need to shit or get off the pot at this point. So I did it. I got in touch with a couple of people who are really active on social media who I thought could help me. Found a couple that were amazing. And then really just started asking people if they'd like to be on the show. So the premise of the show is we break it down into two parts. The first part is we talk about the guest successes, like how do people know them? And we talk about that whole journey, if it was something that they found themselves or that they thought they would be doing at a younger age. Most of the time it's not. But then on the flip side of things, we also talk about how they experience struggles and setbacks and a lot of the challenges along the way that led to that success. Because the underlying goal of the whole podcast is to showcase that these successful people don't have it easy. Because it's really easy for us to look at someone and think they have it so easy, they're so successful, it just must come automatic to them. When in fact, we don't see the hours and hours and hours that they're putting into it, constantly pushing out content, constantly fighting off the fears of quitting because they don't think they're good enough. And a lot of people don't get to see that really human side of them and that kind of vulnerable side of them. And so we go into that on the show in hopes that it inspires the listeners that, hey, I want to do this. I would love to do something along the lines of what this person is doing. They're experiencing the same stuff I am. So I really have a chance to do this.
That's awesome. I mean, I know the show is very popular. Is there anything that you want to tell other folks maybe who are thinking of podcasting or maybe new podcasters? Any advice there?
Oh, sure. Well, it's great that you asked that, because just a couple of hours ago, I was on a Twitter chat talking about podcasting. So this is great.
Oh, that's cool. it's fresh in your mind.
Oh, yeah, it is fresh in my mind. Well, the first thing I would say to aspiring podcasters or people getting started is first, just do it. The barrier to entry is so incredibly low. It's crazy. For maybe $50 and a $15 a month subscription to an audio hosting server, you could have your own podcast. Now, having said that, I wouldn't say just publish a podcast just for the sake of publishing one, but make sure that what you want your show to be, it's something that's a little bit different than what everyone else has out there. There's a ton of shows out there offering little different bits in here that are that make them a little bit different than everyone else. Find out where you can provide value, whether that's having just a host show where it's just you, or you're talking with just the same people, or if you're having guests on. You really need to do your research and figure it out. But if you're able to find something that's compelling and intriguing to other people outside of your own personal interests, you should be just fine.
That's awesome advice. Jason, I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to take a quick break, give some love to our sponsor. I also want to mention that Women Worldwide is now on the C-Suite Radio Network. You can find all of our shows at c-suiteradio.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out all of the other great business podcasts as well.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Jason Schemmel and I were just chatting about his career journey. He's a social media manager, and we just left off with his podcast, Get Shit Done Chat, or GDS Chat. So, Jason, you were just sharing some advice for podcasters. What are some of the, I want to keep on the podcast. What are some of the things that you've learned as a podcast host? Was there anything that you're doing that you kind of, when you step back, you say, wow, I never knew this, or I'm so glad I'm experiencing this, that you want to share?
In terms of having guests on the show, I never thought it'd be as easy to get people to join a show than I ever could imagine. I thought I was going to have a rather hard time getting guests on the show and getting them to buy into the whole, just the whole goal of the show. But it turns out when you have a really captivating headline or a name for a podcast that already piques people's interest, and if you have a really effective elevator pitch,
the name gets you definitely. As soon as you hear the name, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, what's this about? I'm like, well, we talk about how people get shit done.
Yeah. Because that's what we all need to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, trust me, there's been a time or 100 that I needed to tell myself that, but.
Yeah, sure. You know, I'm curious though, because Get Shit Done requires focus, right? And sometimes social media, not all, but some of us, it can be overwhelming and we might be checking things a little bit too often. So I often wonder, because you are a podcast host, because you are a social media manager, because you're out there sharing best practices, do you actually ever unplug? And if you were to unplug, you know, what would a day without social media look like? Or even an hour? I don't know.
Oh, man, I was going to say, yeah, trying to imagine a day without checking my phone for social media. That is...
Can you go a whole day because you work for, you know, a publishing organization, and could you do that?
I am able to. Yes, I have a fantastic team here within my immediate team, because there's my boss, who's our senior director of digital marketing, and then also my my colleague, who's our digital manager. We're able to help each other out if we ever need to take a vacation or a break or anything like that. So my last vacation, just a few months ago, I was out in Italy for 3 weeks and barely touched social media at all. Oh, it was amazing. It wasn't long enough.
So that means you weren't putting pictures out on Instagram or Facebook or wherever you sort of saved it until you got back from your vacation?
I did about every 2 to 3 days I would upload it because that was our honeymoon. I had just recently gotten married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But I had promised my parents and my in-laws that I would be posting images so they could vacation vicariously through us.
Oh, that's nice. It's true. You can live through somebody else on social media.
Oh, absolutely.
So many ways.
But I can say it is possible for me to go a day or two without social media.
So it's not like you have withdrawal symptoms or anything. You're not shaking.
No,
or...
there's no fear of missing out or anything like that. Really, as long as I can keep my mind, FOMO. As long as I can keep my mind busy and distracted, I'm totally fine.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think we all need to take a break.
Absolutely.
Every so often. It actually makes you more productive, I find.
Well, and I also find it makes you just more aware of your surroundings and what's happening around you rather than just what's happening online all the time.
Well, that was one of my confessions that I made somewhere in an interview, that what I was finding is that I had all of these wonderful moments with my family, but I was so concentrating on taking that photo for Instagram. It was the best moment and getting it uploaded and getting the right hashtags that I actually missed the entire moment wherever we were. And I don't do that anymore.
Yes. It's like those people you find at concerts where you just see them the entire time holding their phone up, recording the show and making sure that it's on the phone. I'm like, are you actually enjoying this or what?
Right. How much are you enjoying yourself and experiencing that moment? Because you're not going to get it back, right? I mean, your honeymoon was, once in a lifetime.
Exactly. So that's why they call it time spent, because you can never get a refund on time.
Exactly. So, let's talk a little bit about social media. It is fast paced, right? Being a social media manager, there's lots of things that you probably content that has to be created, things that have to go out. You're also, you want your audience to engage. So this can be stressful, right? There has to be some sort of part of your role that might have challenge or stress. Maybe you could speak to that.
Oh, absolutely. There's always a small portion of it that's stressful, just because you're putting out content that you want to make. You want it to resonate with your audience. You want to grow your numbers because, the higher ups always love seeing big numbers and the vanity metrics and everything. But for me, especially here at HarperCollins in our Bibles department, I have, being here for 5 years, I've really put together my recipe of content. I know what works with my audience. I know what's really going to take off. But at the same time, I also want to introduce some other different pieces of content that I want to try and test and see if it works. And there's always that fear of, I could put a lot of hours into this and really think it's going to go together and then put it out there. And then it could just completely blow up where absolutely nothing happens. And then I think, well, shoot, I just wasted all that time thinking that this was great. And it turns out it's not. But, at the same time, then, so that way you don't have to try that piece of content again, because you already know it doesn't work.
Right. You're learning from it.
Constantly learning.
Are you also, do you have somebody else who is doing community management as well? Is that a counterpart, or is that something that you're also creating content and watching and engaging? Speak to the community engagement part.
Yep. Nope. That's all me for the brands that I manage. Yep. I create the content. I work with the product marketers as new products are coming out, and we talk about content strategies there. If there's articles that they want published or images that they want to put up, different promotions, sweepstakes, I do all of that. So it's never a dull moment here in the office. That's for sure.
No, certainly not. And not to draw out any negative, but have there been situations or even when you're out there as yourself, right? A professional, where somebody gets upset? Somebody doesn't like what you have to say. How do you handle that?
Oh, of course. I mean, you can't please everyone. Whether it's personal or out in the workplace, you're always going to have someone that doesn't align with what you're thinking. And they're going to think, well, this is dumb. Why did you even post this? You should take this down. What were you thinking? Blah, blah, blah. I found that in both spaces, especially in the religious industry, there's a lot of people who are very hardcore about their faith. And I fully understand that. And you know, I can appreciate that to a degree, but when you have people arguing over different translations of the Bible, saying that one is the authentic one and all that stuff, you're like, come on, do you really see what you're saying? I don't actually post that out there. I just think that individually in my head, I'm like, really? But on a personal side, there's content I'll push out there, or I'll tweet something and someone will think, well, I don't agree with that. Or, you know, I think you're wrong. I'm like, okay, well, this is a chance for a discussion. Maybe you can help me understand your side of things. And that kind of goes back to empathy, where, okay, this is how I see things and this is my perception on it, but let me get an opportunity to gain your perception on it, because maybe I haven't considered this and maybe I should.
That's a really smart approach.
Yeah, well, I'm always the eternal optimist. I mean, I always try and give everyone a chance, unless they're being a bit overly dramatic or a bit over the edge, then I just think, all right, well, you're an idiot, and now I'm going to block you. But
right. But if there's a different perspective that you can draw out and learn, it's good for everybody. I mean, that's
exactly
the best part about social media. I remember early on when I guess it was after I had published one of my books, PR2O, I did an interview on an influencer's blog, and I was answering questions about measurement. And one of the, you know, professionals who was an influencer in the area of measurement kind of challenged me and made a comment and said, if this is true, I'm going to eat my shirt. And, you know, on the inside, I was like, all right, we'll get the ketchup. But I really didn't know how to react on social media. So I didn't. And I didn't say anything. And I just kind of pretended like it wasn't there. But I missed an opportunity, because when I heard you say, well, then share with me, tell me what you mean. I guess as a younger professional, I certainly could have said that. What, you know, share your perspective. How do you see it? What do you think went wrong here? And I would have learned as well. Or we both
just finding out where that disconnect is and see if there's, you know, see if there's a way you both can learn, because you never really know until you have that open mindset to really take in outside sources. Because just, and it's something we see on social media all the time, where people are so headstrong in their opinions. Like, no, this is what I think. This is how everyone else should be thinking this, because I think this way. And there's no positive reputation behind that, because everyone looks at you going, you're crazy.
Right. I mean, keeping an open mindset, you just hit the nail on the head. Stop going to opposite corners. And it's so polarized, right?
Yeah, just give it a chance.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could all just be, right, open mindset? Because that's the best way to approach social media and not be, I don't know, I feel like we're just in one big echo chamber. If you feel a certain way and you project that out, then if you're on Facebook, you're being served more of what you believe. And I think you actually, it's really important. I know in my industry and in what I do, I surround myself with news. So I've been in public relations for 30 years, and I need to see all perspectives.
Right.
I can't just stay in one corner. So open mindset, I agree. Okay, so this might be a tough question for you. You're asking everybody else about how they get shit done, but what about you?
Turn the tables.
Manage? I'm turning the tables. It's always fun to do that.
Well, it's funny you ask that, because I was just telling someone about this yesterday. I have all of these questions that I ask my guests and all that stuff, but rarely do I get asked that. And so when someone presents me with a question like that, I'm like, oh, damn it. How would I answer that? I keep asking people this, but what would my answer be? exactly. How do I get shit done? I'm one of those kind of people that I procrastinate until probably the very last minute, and then I get into hyper-focused mode. I'm not saying it's the most productive way of doing things. I'm not saying it's the best way of doing things. It's just how I've done things, and it unfortunately, it works for me.
I mean, some people say that getting to the, like, to the point of it's so stressful, I have to finish. Mm-hmm. That's their most creative point or their most productive point. So is that what you're saying?
Essentially, yes. Because what I've really found out in those moments, that's where I can push all of the kind of internal voices telling me, oh, you should think about this. Have you considered that? Ooh, something shiny over there. Let's go see what that is. I can push all of that out of my mind and go, no, I have to get this done right now. And so any secondary thoughts I might have, any shadows of doubt or anything, just get completely pushed out and I can get hyper-focused. Again, I wouldn't say it's the most optimal way of doing things. It's just, that's what's worked for me.
It's worked. I think it's so funny that you said that voice, those different voices, and the one that says, oh, that shiny object over here. It's really hard to...
Oh, yeah. I'm a firm believer. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say that voice is just, it's all the time, because every time you turn around, there's something shiny and new on social media.
Or it doesn't shut up.
Never shuts up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I'm a firm believer in ADSD, attention deficit squirrel disorder.
Wait, attention deficit, say again?
Squirrel disorder. Squirrel. We're like, ooh, squirrel.
Oh, that's funny. I've never heard that before. I'll have to repeat that. All right, so you clearly are getting shit done. Is there something about being a social media manager, everything that you've absorbed, your 5 years at HarperCollins, the time that you spent before that? I think you were working on some sort of a grant project. You were doing social media. If you could just share a couple of lessons, really, really important lessons that you've learned, would love to hear them.
What is really attributed to my success, especially in terms of digital marketing and social media, is finding the people that you'd like to associate with. So finding those online communities that are in line with your thoughts and your opinions and really where you want to see yourself going. So no matter what stage in your career or your profession, regardless if you're starting over or you're a high school or a college grad just getting started, doesn't matter where. Whatever you want to get into, whether it's a passion or just something that you just want to check out and see if it works, find the online communities, because thanks to social media, they are everywhere. And there's always a very solid handful of people in every community that take in the new people that will answer any question you have, as silly as it may seem, and they'll help you along because they want to see you succeed. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there and ask questions. That would be my biggest one. That's something that I wish I would have done at a younger age, is ask more questions. But there's always that fear of, is this a stupid question? Are they going to think I'm stupid for asking this question? But then I tell myself now, I'm like, well, I'd rather be stupid for 10 seconds than, you know, for 10 years wondering, well, what if I had asked that question? I would have known this by now.
Exactly. Is there one piece of advice that somebody gave to you, and maybe it was when you were younger, maybe it was when you were in retail, whenever, that really just stuck with you throughout your entire career that maybe you want to share?
Oh, my mom is going to laugh so hard if she hears this, because it's something that she told me when I was at a young age. And when she first told it to me, I hated it. I absolutely hated hearing it. But I mean, now that I've gotten a bit older and a bit more experienced, I keep hearing that voice in the back of my head that says, you gotta wanna. Just a simple, straightforward, you gotta wanna. And really what that means is, if you want something bad enough, if you really want something, if you want to make a change in your life, if you want to make a change in your career, if you want to accomplish something, if you want it bad enough, you will find a way to make it work. You will find a way to make it happen. You will find that road that will lead you to that success. But you gotta wanna. If you don't want it bad enough, you're not going to reach it.
Your mom is one smart lady.
That's an understatement, but yes.
You gotta wanna. Well, that is very good advice. I'm glad you passed that along. And last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and what you do and what you care about?
Sure. So I'm primarily on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Most active on Twitter. You can find me at Jason Schemmel. It's JasonSchemm, as in Mary, EL. Yeah, shoot me a tweet or anything like that. I'd love to. I always love meeting new people and figuring out what their passions and their interests lie. For the podcast, just Google Get Shit Done Chat. It's the very first thing that pops up.
I don't think there's another one like that.
Not quite. I mean, there's a couple similar that have like Get Shit Done as part of the title and stuff. But if you just do Get Shit Done Chat, it's the first one that pops up.
That's so cool. Well, Jason, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing advice about social media, how to get shit done, your career journey.
Deirdre, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you. We appreciate everything you've shared. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.